Good morning. Welcome into In Focus, News Radio KMAN here on a Wednesday morning. And our guests today, we got a few different guests, three different segments here we'll have on the show. Actually, four segments, but three different topics. We're going to talk with Red Cross later here around 9:30 or so, and then the Flint Hills Wellness Coalition, Debbie Nuss, will join us at around 9:45. But we start things off first, as we do every couple or every month here on the final Wednesday of the month, with Riley County Schools and Blue Valley Schools. And we've got Superintendent Cliff Williams at USD 378 Riley County joining us. Good morning.
Good morning, Brandon.
And Superintendent John Cox at USD 384 Blue Valley Schools. Good morning.
Good morning, Brandon.
Pleasure to have you both on. It's hard to believe we're almost through February and getting into March, and soon before we know it, we'll be wrapping up the school year. Things are really flying by, aren't they, Cliff?
Well, they are. It's hard to believe. I actually had one of our students tell me there was 11 days left in the third 9 weeks when I walked through this morning, and I had to go back and look at the calendar, and I thought, you know, he sure is right. It's just flying by. So, but it's been great. You know, we're here. I think many of us in August didn't know if we would make it this far.
I'd say both districts have navigated through very, very well.
Yeah, it's great. I know we've been reporting on our website, like many others, that for three consecutive weeks right now, our COVID numbers have been at a zero far as positive cases for students and staff. And so kudos goes out to all those folks that have worked so hard to keep us in school and keep the spread at a bare minimum. And you know, even if I can just birdwalk on that a little bit, talking to our school nurses, one thing that we've seen as a byproduct from this, that just a few years ago, we had 100 cases of strep throat. And this year so far, we've only had 26. So a 75% reduction there that we're pretty pleased with. And the flu numbers have just dropped off the table. And so we're hoping to take some of these strategies that we're using with COVID and continue them afterwards, you know, like good hand washing and disinfecting in a different way that we can learn from this situation.
Yeah. How about you, John, over at Blue Valley?
Well, we've had zero cases as well. We've had a few scares here and there, but it all worked out. It was just an allergy or a head cold or something. So we're very fortunate to have those numbers. Cliff is right. You know, we've learned so much in the last 9 months here, the last year, with what to do and how to do it. I was talking with our custodian at the elementary school, and we've had very few cases of strep throat and the flu. It makes me nervous that when the masks come off and we're ready to come back to school, you know, of what could happen. But again, continuing on with the good hand washing and sanitizing practices that we've learned, that should keep it to a minimum.
And I know that we've talked to the health department director frequently here on the radio, and it sounds like, you know, we're getting K through 12 staff vaccinated. What are vaccine numbers looking like at each of your districts? John, you can go first if you want.
Well, we have 27 staff members who have signed up for the vaccine, and I don't know how the vaccine numbers all work out, but so far we've had 20 of our staff who signed up actually received it. We're due to get our second round on the 12th, which would be right before spring break, so that's good timing for us. You know, it's always an option. We highly encourage it, but you know, it's always a personal choice of whether they want to or not. And we're going to continue to push and just highly encourage it, because like masks, initially there was a lot of pushback, but then everybody seemed to realize that it was the best course of action. Change is always scary and new things are always scary, but for the betterment of everyone, you know, if you have an opportunity to get a vaccine, I highly encourage you to get it. For myself, I'm a high risk person with the issue that I have, and I took the vaccine and I had zero side effects. Now, that's not saying that anybody else wouldn't, but it's just my personal experience.
All right, Cliff, how about over in Riley County?
Yeah, we're like John. We've had a, really a great response from our staff that was willing to go get vaccinated. Many have had, you know, mixed reactions to it. So, you know, obviously it's not something that we have mandated or can mandate, but we appreciate their efforts to try to do their part to prevent the spread. And I think it's been a positive experience for our crew. Most of us are still on shot number one. We've had a few that have gone through number two there, and some mixed stories there, a little fever, queasiness, that type of thing. So they've tried to strategically have those on Fridays so they can recover over the weekend. So we're glad that the opportunity was there. And I just like to sing the praises out to the Raleigh County Health Department and their efforts there. I know personally when I went through with my wife, it was very efficient, very well thought out. I can only imagine how busy those folks are, and I thought they did a wonderful job.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, I've been hearing a lot about that too. Of course, my wife is working in the USD 33 district, and she went and got her first shot last Friday, and so she'll be going back in a few weeks to get her second shot. But she had the same comments there, so that's good to hear. Well, we get through COVID. I know, John, you've got kind of a little plan you're working on here going forward into the rest of this year, and really kind of getting set up for next year.
Yeah, as we look at what we're going to do afterwards, you know, KSDE has really worked hard. Dr. Randy Watson has worked hard with the board there to come up with a plan, and he's got a coalition going of a bunch of educators and health professionals, as we all know. And the navigating change is the next phase of this, and it really there are several prongs to the approach of, you know, with the next round of COVID money and how to spend and strategically plan for that. And, you know, a lot of the money that we got initially was spent on infrastructure and safety and precautions. How do we spend the money now that we're getting it, and what's the best use of it? So our strategic plan is going to focus around spending the money on our students and staff and making sure that their social emotional needs are taken care of, focusing on making sure that we have the right people in the right places, and filling academic gaps. You know, looking at the data so far this year, we know there's a gap, but so far with the data, it hasn't shown to be as big as we initially thought it was going to be, at least for our kiddos. But how are we going to fill the gaps that we do have? And so looking at the money, looking at the programs that we have that we can use to do those, fill those gaps. We have to make sure that we're focusing on the kids who are getting ready to graduate. You know, they've lost a considerable amount of their high school career from last year to this year, and making sure that they're prepared for post-secondary success. You know, I don't know how many of you all are familiar with the ACE score, the Adverse Childhood Experience scores, but you know, everybody has been traumatized by the pandemic, whether they realize it at this moment or not. So finding ways to support those kiddos, those families, and those staff members through these difficult times as we transition back to not the new normal, but somewhat back to a normal way of living. You know, some of the things that we have in place aren't going to go away anytime soon, but some of the things we hope to lessen the restrictions on to make it more of a normal experience. And as a district in the spring, we're getting ready to focus on our strategic plan for our five-year goals for all of the things related to school, from transportation to academics to buildings and grounds and all of those things. And we're looking forward to getting the community involved in that and working through a plan together for the betterment of our district.
You know, I can only speak from my own experience. I have a daughter who's in the fourth grade here in Manhattan. And, you know, she's struggled with some of the social emotional stuff. I think, you know, has a little trouble making friends. She's a little shy. And I know she's not alone out there. There's others that are just like her. But one thing that she's mentioned that's been kind of tough is the fact that she's got friends in other classes and they can't intermingle at recess. I don't know how your district handles recess, but that's a safety precaution. And that I don't know if that's something that could be loosened up here or not. And I don't, again, I don't know. That's a USD 383 thing. But how you guys handle stuff like that, you know, intermingling classes and such?
We try to keep them separated as much as possible. We've broken it down for our elementary kids into K-1 grouping, and then 2 through 4 for the older kids. And so when we go to lunch and go to recess, we've got the playground cordoned off into separate sections. They still can talk and interact, but they're in their own zones so that we have those safe distances. And then we rotate through those. At lunch, the kids interact with the kids that are in their class, and they're all spaced out 6 feet. It's a challenge. It's a challenge to do, but we're making the most out of every effort and every opportunity that we have to make sure that kids can just be kids, even though we're dealing with the pandemic.
Yeah. Cliff, I don't know if you want to interject at all there.
I just echo that. I think most schools are probably fairly similar, Brandon, and trying to prevent that, try to have those similar groups, like you guys have said. And though we might not all like it, we're still pushing through that. And I think we're evolving out of it. You know, we've seen something at the different level, like our activities. We've gone from no fans to 2 fans to 4 fans. You know, so we're kind of evolving back, and you know, our kids and our staff have had a chance to learn those different protocols as well, and have made the best out of the tough situation.
Absolutely. Well, we're gonna reach time to take our first break on the program, so let's do that real quick, and we'll come back and continue our chat with Cliff Williams, John Cox. We're talking Riley County Blue Valley Schools here this morning on In Focus News Radio KMAN.